I agree with
I actually did get a question, kind of long and in two parts. So I'd like to ask, could you explain one more time what you call the essence of the body, and especially what happens when that falls away, and why didn't you have any trouble with it? Was it because you already had knowledge of non-duality beforehand, and what remains after that? So essence is just the just die feeling, this very subtle feeling. You know you exist. And when that falls away, it doesn't really fall away. There's just a intuitive knowing, a direct recognition. It's like self-evident. It's not that body essence falls away. Mantra allows the illusory layers to be erased slowly, silently, permanently. When those illusory layers are erased, it stops the kind of conceptual building blocks of the so-called world and the so-called me in the world and all this. It falls away, and there's not a you that's watching it fall away. I did describe one time, and I've said this a couple of times, when in the ashram, that moment of the feeling of expansion, where suddenly the experience was just filling the room. But it wasn't, again, that's from a mind perspective. Whenever we're talking about these kind of perspectives of how does this happen or why does this happen or when it falls away, we're always speaking through the illusory concept of it's happening to a me. Nothing is happening. Nothing's ever happened. So there is no falling away. There is no expansion. When you're looking at it through the mind's eye, so to speak, it feels like an expansion because the pressures of all those illusory concepts trying to, like, I want to say they hold you to the body, but you're holding yourself to the body through the illusory layers, the sticky concepts. They're sticking all over this body and pressuring you to believe, I am somebody. I'm having this experience. I am expanding, I am falling away, presence is being felt, all this sort of stuff. But all of this is we're trying to operate our knowing or our knowledge through the body base. And that's why where all experience ends, there you are, which then leads that to the second part of the question, which was what is the difference, if any, between that which remains and the selfless self, or what you call the knower of presence? Why are you certain that this is the ultimate truth and not formless presence without knowing? To me, the knower of presence seems like the first layer of formlessness prior to nothing. That's why we hold a slightly different view. The void may be known, yes, in meditation, perhaps. But when even that is gone, there is nothing that is left that can know the void, not even awareness knowing itself. There is no knowing there, and yet something unspeakable is. Okay, so that's kind of one trying to explain this through, again, illusory concepts, through body-based understanding, through this is happening to a me. If you remain with your selfless self, and by selfless self, I mean, okay, there's this layer of presence. You feel this, you know this because you're holding a body. In meditation, you start to feel it a little bit. It's just a feeling, just the subtle, just I, just I. Just I, just existence without any knowing of a certain one that exists or anything that's building my existence as something. Presence is just here, okay? Now, as you remain with presence, there is a direct recognition that there is something. There's a knower of this sense of presence, because when we say the knower of the sense of presence, I exist, is, oh, but that which existed knows this knowledge of existence. But they come spontaneously. They come together. That's why Maharaj says it's like a cigarette lighter or match and stick. Strike and there's fire. Fire is always there. This sense of presence, it's always there. But when this body forms, it poof, strike, oh, sense of presence. There's a knower of a sense of presence. So there is a, as you call, void, but you can still know the void, because you can know the void in meditation. You can sit there and it's like, ooh, I don't like that. There's nothing. There's like this feeling of nothing. And it, to the mind that's always wanting something, you're always wanting to flow along with the mind and say, oh, this is that, and this is this, and this. And now there's no labeling. There's no identification. There's no nothing, and you're, ooh. But yet still, and that's why Maharaj talks about samadhi. You can have a very good samadhi, be going out through your whole day. Oh my gosh, I'm in that essence. I'm flowing. Everything is so beautiful. Everything. But there's a knower still. You're still experiencing samadhi. Oh, I had a great samadhi. But that you are, there's no experience, no experiencer. It's self-evident. Self-recognition. This, whether presence is there or not, I am. And that I am is that you are. And when you speak about presence, seems like the first layer of formlessness prior to nothing. But again, prior to nothing, but who knows that nothing? If you're sitting there saying, oh, there's nothing, then there's still the knower of that nothing, just one little layer, subtle illusion. Even as presence, and we talked about before, if I meditate and I feel the sense of presence, I can, whilst believing myself to be able to do something, transfer my awareness, my attention, whatever you want to call it, to the subtle sense of presence. And, oh, so I'm more like this subtle sense of presence than I am this body. Now I go about my daily duties, but with this knowingness of this subtle sense of presence, I am presence. So I'm now identified as presence. Or you could say I've identified this sense of presence as God, as whatever. I this is my belief. This is God. I'm now in the presence of God. And then because we understand that there is only one presence, it's not that presence and I'm experiencing that presence, that's where the idea is of no ideas. And yet if I identify with presence, then I know I'm not body, I know I'm not born, and I know I won't die. All these are removed. So by remaining with your selfless self, this I am, this sense of presence, as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, it opens all the secrets. Well, the secret is, the hidden secret is you are. Prior to nothing, because the nothing is known and the nothing is an illusionary concept. And once again, nothing is within the bubble of illusion. If I'm experiencing nothing, it's due to the dream. I am somebody. The direct recognition, you are self-evident. As Nisargadatta Maharaj would say, recede, 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 recede. You cannot recede more now. You recede to presence, and you know whether presence is there or not, I am. But there isn't a way to know yourself because you are yourself. And I think that's where that little bit of trouble is coming in, saying, oh, there's a beautiful void beyond, or beyond the sense of presence, or beyond the nothingness. We want to eliminate all that. Throw everything away. Have a direct experience with your selfless self. Because just like Das Bodh, it goes through pages and pages and pages and pages of removing doubt. And if there's doubt, there's a doubter. And the doubter has to be removed. So the layers of doubt are removed through the question and answer throughout Das Bodh, because every single one ends with that doubt is removed now. And it goes into detailed explanation. It'll go in the detailed explanation of how the world was created with the five elements and how this element came into that element and all this. But forget about all that. Know yourself in a real sense, a direct recognition. Spend this time with you and never think that, like, from this email, it almost sounds like, hey, I have arrived of like knowing this and this and that and talking about the experience. I won't get into the experience, but it's good that, okay, you had this experience where everything fell away and you were just with yourself. But don't let that stop you from knowing yourself in a real sense, because as long as there is something left that knows or wants to know or is experiencing anything, then you're not yet with your own self. Your own self is a direct recognition, a direct, you're self-evident. Where all experience ends, there you are. That's something that came out of nothing, dissolves back into nothing, but nothing is a concept. When did you come across with the concept of nothing? When you came across with body. As long as we believe that we have to figure things out, as long as we believe that we are separate entities, having experiences or needing more experience or needing to remove experience, because once you have that, the easiest way, meditation, subtle sense of presence is felt the very first time it's felt. You can distinguish it from anything else. And now awareness of the sense of presence. Okay. Now transference of all concepts, all ideas to a sense of presence. I am more like the sense of presence than I am this body. And that itself, with this identification with the sense of presence, this I am, it will remove body, mind, ego, intellect, world, birth, death, all concepts like this. And the longer you then are clearing that path, because you're not identified with every passing thing, or every passing experience, thinking that I must have this experience or I don't want to have that experience, and pain and pleasure and all that sort of stuff. When you are here with your own self, there will be no questions. It is a black hole. There's nothing to figure out. There's nothing. When we're in the bubble of illusion, we try to create this and that. And I'm over here, and this is here. I'm almost there. I've had this experience. Hot and cold. And there is no this. When you remain with your selfless self, Truly, there's no even speaking. It's prior to the first thought, prior to the first speaking, prior to anything. And yet you are. And again, still, only because this body form is available, this body is just a telescope into this illusory existence. When you wake up in the morning from a dream, you know yourself in a real sense, so to speak. I wasn't anything to do with that dream. Within the dream itself, you could explain 100 million things. We talked about before, you could go to a guru on the mountain and dream that you were with that guru for 100 years, and he says, oh, you're enlightened and all this, and you start to have these experiences, you feel like you're floating, all the and you wake up the next morning. And it's finished because now you know yourself in a real sense. That was a dream, and I am not dreaming. And when you know yourself in a real sense, in the quote, waking dream, it's the same. That was all before when I thought myself something. All of this was before when I thought myself as something within the world, rather than the nothingness in which the world appears. And that's that. Jaguar.
In the Consciousness in the Absolute, page 54 and 55, Nisargadatta says, well, at the top of page 55, he says, you are, the cognizance, or let me see if I wrote it down. Cognition, that which is cognated, I think I wrote it down here somewhere. Cognizing, okay, cognizing, cognition and that which is cognized they're all one, I guess. So I was wondering, is that what the bubble of illusion is? Is that what the is the bubble of illusion the same as the primal illusion?
Illusion is illusion. It's something that doesn't exist.
Is
So, what stage of non-existence?
it
You know what I'm
okay?
saying? Like we're saying, oh, the primary illusion, the secondary illusion. But illusion is illusion. We use the word illusion very, very kind of haphazardly, so to speak, because we say, oh, it's illusion. Just like within the dream. Oh, it was a dream. And was it the prior dream? Was it a very deep dream? What part of the dream was so when you say cognition, to me, it's like, oh, the realization I exist. But within the I exist, I can only sense the I exist within the bubble of illusion. Like there's no other way to have any experience.
So it is that is kind of he talk in that book, Consciousness and Absolute. Sometimes he talks about consciousness as being something that's illusory, and then it seems like sometimes That's your true self.
Anything that eats is illusory. When I say, oh, I had this good experience, I had this dream, I'm having this sense of presence, all of that is illusion. The you that you are has not changed. Understand that all the bodies that have come, like from Stone Age all till now, just elements, all essence, yourself. The dinosaurs, yourself. Because you have not changed. You haven't grown old. There's no time. There's no nothing. It again, just like the dream state. How is the dream created? We are sleeping. This body form, oh, sleep, sleep, sleep. But the formlessness, there's no knowing. There's nothing to know. You don't even know yourself. And then suddenly, this little spark of existence, the dream world is created. Instantaneously, spontaneously, grass, sky, wind, water, people,
That's the
conversation.
cognition, right? That's
Well, the
all.
cognition would be knowing all of this stuff within your dream. This is happening. Now there's a cognition because, oh, I am aware of things. But that awareness was there. But now I'm aware of something because this little dream body is available. Now I'm, quote, cognizing through the experience of being a dream body, seeing all these people. Now I don't know it's a dream until I wake up. And once I wake up, then I understand that everything that was, quote, cognized was nothing. And yet, that one providing this experience, or the background being able to provide this experience of dream or a waking dream, is because without that, there could be no dream. There could be no, like, if there was nothing and there truly was just this nothing and nothing was, then how did the sense of existence create a dream world? You could say that the sense of existence is the quote consciousness because all of this is being sort of constructed and built. But it's formless. And the sense of existence is known through the consciousness and is also that then the consciousness creates, basically. However, you are prior to all of this because the knowledge of existence, this is where it's self-evident. Knock, knock. Who's there? Nobody's there, but somebody had to be there to say nobody's there. For this I am, this sense of existence, this just I, this presence, there had to be a you there in order for this to appear. Before every experience, there has to be an experiencer.
And you
Without
were
an
welcome.
experiencer, there can be no experience.
And you just get to know that by sitting in meditation or with that, right?
Because again, you're sitting and as you fall back,
Not only know it, you be it.
as you fall back, yeah, you are that, and you know this, and yet there's not a cognizing of knowing this because all is one. There's and not even one. It's just a you collapse the world, you collapse everything, the black hole,
Nothing
sucking
else.
in all concepts,
Nothing
and from
else.
here. Thoughts don't, I don't know if they arise or not, but your soul you're so you because there can't be anything else. And yet you know without this body form you would not know yourself. You could not know yourself in a real sense. And yet, the body form, if you identify with it, then you get further and further and further away from yourself because, oh, this body is here. Now there's so much stuff to know about, so many experiences to be had. And yet, the very first experience I exist is truly, as you would say, the primary illusion. Even the sense of existence is not true. Because you have to know the sense of existence within the bubble of illusion. And you're outside of this because this, and I don't even want to say outside because you say outside, inside.
Right.
It's you can't be outside or inside because you are, like you
Yeah.
are that. That's it. Where all experience ends, there you are. Take away everything. And there you are. You cannot be taken away. Obviously, how can you take away? And you say, oh, I've discarded everything, including myself. Well, that doesn't even make sense. And that's why Maharaj says, be normal, be simple, be humble, be always with you.
Yeah, one time I remember reading some non-dual teacher, and he said you cannot get rid of the self
Yeah, well, how?
because you
And
are
who would do that?
that.
Who would do that?
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
can get rid of the body, jump out your window.
Yeah.
And yet, the you that you are is not affected by jumping out the window. You're jumping out the window inside yourself.
That's just an experience.
You say, oh, I'm going to get rid of myself. Oh, boom. But you didn't.
So
You got rid of the body
would
form that you were using, the particular body form that you had identified with as yourself.
Buddhism says that suicide is really bad. Would you have any opinion on that?
I mean, here's an experience you're experiencing. Yes, you have this body form and you're enjoying this world. So
It's just a waste.
again, and this is the same as like when Sri Ramakant Maharaj, people would say, oh, you shouldn't eat meat and all this sort of stuff. But in reality, this is a concept because I'm a body. And then spiritual pride could come in. I don't eat meat because it's wrong, because I'm a very spiritual man. I don't eat meat. I only eat veggie dinners or whatever. And forget about all that, because again, you're identified with this body. Just like if a Buddhist and a Christian and a Muslim were sitting there and they started, well, of course, there's wars about that kind of shit. When you sit there and you say, my belief is better than your belief, my God is more powerful, and you're a heathen to believe this way, it's because identification with a body. Take away the body, and how are you Christian, Muslim, Hindu? You happen to be this body form was created out of the five elements because a Muslim and another Muslim got together and created a lump of goo. And that lump of goo was told, you're a Muslim. And two lumps of goo got together and created another lump of goo. And that lump of goo said, oh, you're a Christian. And now you say, because I believe this way, because I was told this way, this is the only way.
So if you do recognize
Even the whole thing, I am the way, the life, and the truth, was ridiculously like, oh, Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth. No, I am the way and the life and the truth. No one gets to the Father except through me. This is Jesus is saying that as the sense of presence because he has no body identity whatsoever. But all the little people gathered around say, this man is God and all this. But you are too. Hello. And he was saying that. Jesus wasn't this dude who was like sitting there saying, I am the Messiah. I am so absolutely wonderful and all this. No, he was speaking from that position without body, without concepts. And other people wrote it down because I'm identified with the body. I think this guy is speaking as if he's a body form because I don't know any different. I don't know any better.
Course, some people do connect with that through the teachings of Jesus.
Of course, because presence is your own self. No matter what avenue you go through, it makes no difference. Because basically, each one of those said basically the same thing. You know, Buddha said, "Oh, the sufferings of the world are, you know, you want to, it's too much suffering. As long as you need nirvana or whatever, because there's too much suffering, 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 suffering. And the best way to not suffer is to non-attach and all this sort of thing. But it's because that's the reality. You are formless. Stop believing yourself to be a body form." And this is why Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, if you believe you're a body, you're going to see him as a body and him as a guru. If you remove the body, there is no separation. How? See yourself as formless, see the master as formless, and there can be no separation. Everything that every spiritual teacher has ever said, he means for you too. Nisargadatta Maharaj says, throw away this Bhagavad Gita thing because he's talking from the position. Don't identify other than the position of Krishna. When Krishna says, and see, for Hindus, that would be a very, just like I said about Jesus, they're all up in arms. Oh my God, you can't say that about Jesus. He was like the savior. And Krishna, same way. Oh my God, you can't say that about Krishna. Nisargadatta Maharaj says, in religions, no. All religions are illusory because you know about them in the bubble of illusion. You were not a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, or none of these things, a Buddha, nothing. Until you came along with the body, where you introduced to these concepts, and then you began to impress, I am somebody else. It's just not true. And yes, from the perspective when Jesus was saying, all of the sayings of Jesus, if you identify with Jesus instead of all those other guys writing about him, you're closer to truth. If you identify with Krishna when he's explaining all these things in the Bhagavad Gita, you identify when he says, all worlds are in me and all of this. And even when he gives Arjuna the glimpse of the power and all that, that's Arjuna's own mind and own perception of how he believes this experience of seeing this. Again, there's no experience, no experiencer. As long as you're identified with a body form, you're going to believe pretty much anything.
It starts with believing in yourself that you exist as an individual.
Well, and individuality is the worst because you're willing to fight to protect every little thing.
I have this before we're I found this very interesting quote that actually touched me and helped me just sort of discriminate and like that's bode to me. The reading that is all about it talks about discriminating, and it ends up, I think, helping me discriminate. But anyway, this quote, this guy says, well, he was referring to everything that goes on in the head and experience and how we objectify it and make subject object out of it and all that stuff. But the quote is, as the head vanishes, the heart emerges. And it just seemed like simply, yeah, that is kind of like what happened. That's true to me. As the head vanishes, the heart emerges. Would you have anything you could add to that or say about it?
I mean, I get again, you're
It seems to affect me directly, like right now, if I just sit with that statement.
but there's no heart.
Well, but there's
Just like when people get caught up with the love, oh, the love. The whole world is love, 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 and it's love is the essence and all that. And
but
this is again body-based concept.
to me the heart is like everything at once without being anything. To me, that's what the heart
Well,
is.
and that's like Sri Ramana Maharshi says, the heart being in the center, and other people are saying, oh, it's on the, and he says, no, it's not the bodily heart, but the heart is ultimate truth. It's easier to say ultimate truth because you're not trying to build a concept of heart. When you build a concept of heart, you're like, oh, there's like a oneness, there's a love, a natural love of whatever. I don't know. You gotta cut. It's I understand and see even quotes and stuff. And that's why Sri Ramakant Maharaj used to say, don't just quote these quotes, because understand you're the one that was speaking these quotes, for one thing. And the quote again was through whatever concepts were appearing in which the quote was spoken. And you're prior to the words, prior to the first thought, before the word was even generated. It's a good stepping stone to yourself. But one master says like this, one master says like that, one master, just try to remain with yourself as self. Presence. There's a knower of this presence. And there's nothing else. You don't want to know anything. There's nothing that a sticky concept can stick to. There's no hook to hang the hat. Even to say head and heart, that's a hook to hang a hat because that's a conceptual thing. Also, that's something that if I say to you, you can have, as you said, oh, I feel that. It's a new experience or it's an experience. But when you remain with your selfless self, when you are with your selfless self, and there is direct recognition, self-evident, then there is no need to explain anything anymore or to use any quotes or use anything because there's no concepts there. All the books, all the quotes, all the masters were only to point you to your selfless self so that you could have a direct experience. And that direct experience finishes everything. It's the black hole. It sucks in all concepts.
It did seem like
And yet
the
I still read
quote.
every morning. I get up and I read the Kindle. I read Consciousness and the Absolute. I read I Am That, little portions of Das Boot and all this. On my way into work on the metro, I read all these things. 40 minutes of like probably 20 different books, just a little bit of each one. But I'm not sitting there, ooh. Ooh, that's just
Just like reminders,
keeping the atmosphere. Pardon me.
sort of like a reminder, so you don't forget.
It, truly, I don't know why I do it. It's something that is just happening. It's just happening. But it's nice and it keeps refreshing. Also, you're less likely to be caught in the illusory ditch because on one hand you have the books and you're sort of being with yourself, remaining with yourself as self. And on the other hand, you have all the busyness of the metro, all the people coming in and out and all the traffic and all this sort of stuff. So you can either read your books and be in that kind of state with your own self, or allow the attention to go outwards. And even though you know yourself in a real sense and it really won't matter, it will get a wave.